Two guys, two topics, two opinions.
You talk, give me two.
This is the split story of the day on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I think our guys are enthusiastic about who this team can be. It's not a new season, but there's so many unknowns. Everything from the obvious without the fans to the bubble, all the precautions, to just the strange nature of the preparation. And when you have a team that's got an enthusiastic mindset, I think that can be a real positive. The hallmarks of our team are there. We've got some good players that really like playing with each other. They're competitive and they're together. And I think they're excited to get out and to compete.
All right, Gordon, we know the schedule. We know the start times for the Jazz restarting starting July 30th. They're actually going to play in the first game back, which I think is appropriate considering where the season left off, when they take on New Orleans, 4:30 start time on Thursday, July 30th. That's going to be a TNT game. And just to rattle off the rest of the games, Gordon, they play Saturday at 1:30. This is August 1st against Oklahoma City. Monday, August 3rd at 7 against the Lakers. Wednesday, August 5th at 12:30 p.m. against Memphis. Friday, August 7th against San Antonio at 11 a.m. Denver on Saturday, August 8th at 1:30 p.m. Monday, August 10th, Dallas at 1 o'clock p.m. And Thursday, August 13th, San Antonio, start time to be determined. What was your initial reaction, Gordon, or thoughts when you saw the Jazz schedule?
Well, it's hard to tell. It's because I don't know what kind of shape these teams are going to be in when they restart. But let's take them game by game. You want to?
Can I give you my initial reaction real quick before we do? I think it's not bad. I mean, I expected the schedule to be really tough considering all the crappy teams are no longer involved. Mm-hmm. And this isn't bad. They play San Antonio twice. If you could pick a team to play twice, San Antonio might be it.
And by the although San Antonio has caused the Jazz problems this season earlier, they're down 0-2 to the Spurs. You wouldn't expect that because the Jazz are a better team, but the Spurs have shot the ball like crazy against the Jazz. Yep.
All right, so let's go through game by game. But that was my initial reaction.
Yeah,
it's like I thought it could have been tougher than it was. Love starting out with New Orleans. Give me Jazz v. Zion to get this thing going. That's an intriguing game.
The Jazz have not seen him, and so that is interesting. Brandon Ingram is a bit of a problem for the Jazz. At least he has been. He is very difficult for the Jazz to cover off the dribble. But I wonder how that's going to work with Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. Are those two going to mesh? I don't know exactly how it's going to go.
I would guess they mesh pretty well. I mean, their games don't really overlap all that much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an intriguing game. Game number two against Oklahoma City. Gordon, what comes to mind with this game is something that you brought up last week. You're not sure maybe if every team's heart's going to be in it. That is not going to be the case with Oklahoma City. For one, just based on they're a plucky overachiever this year already. Two, Chris Paul's the leader of the players' union, and he's going to have to set the tone for this thing. I think Oklahoma City is going to be in it to win it.
And remember, I mean, where they are in the standings right now, and the series itself is tied at one game apiece. And so this will be the tiebreaker.
And so that's a big game.
Yeah, that is a really important game for the Jazz. And, I always enjoy those games because Rudy Gobert against the big fella, how's that going to go? You mentioned Chris Paul, and now if... If Mike Conley is able to be Mike Conley again, then that matchup is interesting. Yeah, that game's a toss-up as far as I'm concerned.
Then comes the Lakers. Now this
lookout.
I don't know if it's a lookout game though, because I don't know how much the Lakers are actually going to play their guys in these final eight regular season games.
All I know
games.
Is the Lakers have crushed the Jazz in their two games. Remember that 25-point loss they had against the Lakers? I mean, you're right. I mean, obviously, a lot of this stuff comes down to who is really motivated. But when you have Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard, who are you going to put Rudy Gobert on? Who's he going to cover?
If it were me, Dwight Howard.
And then who covers Anthony Davis?
I don't know. Make somebody else. Royce O'Neal chase Anthony Davis around.
Yeah, see, that's a tough... That's a tough
matchup. But the Lakers right now, they're the top seed by 5.5 games. I mean, they're not giving up the top seed. And it wouldn't surprise me if LeBron kind of eased his way into this whole thing. I don't know what kind of Laker team you're going to get in that game.
Well, since they've been practicing for the past 2 months, they'll probably be ready.
Yeah, exactly. So
illegally.
You know, might as well ease your way in. Illegally by state law, yes. Against NBA rules, no. Memphis, then Wednesday, August 5th. Who doesn't want to watch Ja Morant? Plus, they're going to have a lot to play for. Then Friday, August 7th, you mentioned San Antonio. Gordon, one of two games. They also wrap up the regular season against San Antonio. And see, now that is a team where I could see Pop kind of saying, all right, we're just going to get through this and we don't need to play big minutes. I mean, does San Antonio really have a chance to make the playoffs? Not really. So, I mean, will they even play LaMarcus Aldridge, for example?
Well, I think he's out, isn't he?
That wouldn't surprise me if he is.
I think he's out. But
or DeRozan. Hey, I mean, are we going to see any of those guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. But for whatever reason, the Spurs have not lost to the Jazz so far this season. So we'll see where it goes from there.
Now, Saturday's game, August 8th against Denver, is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough game. Denver's going to be playing hard. Yeah, and then back-to-back with Dallas. And I think Dallas is going to be tough.
What do you think? Why has Jokic been so successful against Rudy Gobert this year? If my memory serves, I thought Gobert has done pretty well against him in other seasons. But for whatever reason, this year, Jokic has just dominated those games.
Well, here, I'll give you two reasons that Rudy has struggled against Jokic, and maybe folks out there disagree, but I'll try and put it as simply as I can. Jokic pulls Rudy out of the paint. Mm-hmm. Numero uno, because he does a lot of his work outside of the paint, whether it's facilitating or shooting or whatever. He brings Rudy out of where Rudy is most effective. Secondly, when Rudy is out on Jokic, and he is such a good facilitator and passing, who is guarding the person that Jokic is passing to?
I don't know. Who?
Not Rudy!
Yeah, and you get my point? Easy for him to collect assists.
You get my point? The person that is benefiting from that Jokic pass is being guarded by anybody but Rudy. So that's going to be better than being guarded by Rudy.
However, even with Gobert guarding Jokic, what's he hit? He's like 24 of 33 shots against the Jazz this year. I mean, so even with Gobert on him, I understand he pulls him away from the basket, but that's some kind of shooting.
Right, but he doesn't, Rudy guarding a player like Jokic is not, and I give Rudy a lot of credit for evolving as a defender. This is why I was glad he won Defensive Player of the Year last year, because I thought he was a better defender. He was better on the open floor. He was better when teams did draw him out of the paint and made him guard. Like your question about Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard in the Lakers, of course you'd rather have him guard Dwight Howard. That's what Rudy's good at, guarding that type of skill set. Plus it leaves him under the basket to stifle drives and stifle the other team from getting in the basket.
Which is what the Jazz always try to do.
Right. Anthony Davis, if you're guarding Anthony Davis, Rudy's got to go out onto the perimeter. And that's, one, not where Rudy's at his best, but it also takes Rudy away from where he's the most effective. And Jokic does that.
But he's been successful against Rudy down low as well, using that body. But hasn't he lost a bunch of weight?
He has. But, I mean, I'll take Nikola Jokic going at Rudy in the paint 10 out of 10 times. Bring it on. I mean, more often than not, that's not going to end well for Jokic. It's when Rudy has to get out on him.
This year it has. That's why I'm wondering. I mean, what the heck?
What? Bench Rudy then.
He's missed 9 shots against the Jazz this year.
Well, he better not play Rudy.
Well, okay. We'll see. But that is on the back end of a back-to-back. And so we'll see how the Jazz hold up in that circumstance. That's the only back-to-back, I think, in the whole slate.
It is. And then we mentioned they finish up with the Spurs. Let me ask you this, though, Gordon, because I don't think wins and losses – let me put it this way. I think maybe there's going to be some strategic losing, because who's the best matchup for the Jazz in the first round? Because remember, home court doesn't matter. So seed doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and the Jazz could end up, they could, if they play really, really well, which is hard to believe, but they could end as second and they could fall down to 7. And so, yeah, that'll be really interesting. What would you do? So what do you do if you're Quinn Snyder? Do you want your players to stomp the pedal the whole way through, even if it's going to end up in a less advantageous matchup in the first round? Yeah, it's difficult to tell your team, hey, guys, I don't want you to win tonight.
Right, but it is less difficult to say, hey, Donovan, instead of 35 minutes, you're playing 25.
And then it's on him. Then it's on Quinn.
And it's easy to look down at Jarrell Brantley and say, hey, you're getting your shot tonight. Go in there and make it happen.
But doesn't that run against everything the Jazz stand for?
Maybe.
Really?
Maybe. And maybe they don't do it. I mean, we saw Denver do it last year.
Yeah.
And it kind of worked out for them.
So the Lakers are the worst matchup for the Jazz?
Well, Lakers, Clippers, let's take this out of it, because the likelihood of them playing either of those teams is really low.
Maybe in the second round.
In the second round, right. In the first round, though, I would say, and so the Jazz playing the Grizzlies, the odds of that are also quite low. So I would say take them out of the thought for a second. If I were the Jazz, I'd rather face the Mavericks or the Thunder than the Rockets and the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Because the Thunder, they're a try-hard team, but I think the Jazz have more talent than the Thunder. And then Dallas, I don't think they've meshed quite yet. Luka's pretty amazing, but we haven't seen him do it in the playoffs, and we still don't know if he and Porzingis are a good match together.
I think that might be a little more difficult than what we're saying.
Oh, man, there's no good matchup, Gordon. I mean, if you want the right answer, I mean, it all stinks. I mean, you'd take Memphis, you know, if you had a perfect world, but they're not going to get Memphis. I mean, I don't think they want the Rockets.
No,
for obvious reasons.
They definitely don't. And that's the worst matchup against a team that is not at the absolute top of the Western stand.
Right. So, I mean, do you try and jockey for position to avoid the Rockets? I wouldn't want the Nuggets either, but I think the likelihood of them playing the Nuggets is less. I think the Nuggets are going to be super motivated. I think the Nuggets are going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I agree with you. The Mavericks, to me, that's an interesting – how will they do in these regular season games, and you're right, that meshing of those two talents. But that could be problematic. Although the Jazz did get that win down at Dallas. Remember that game? That was memorable.
Yeah, on a Bojan Bogdanović last-second three, right?
And we haven't even brought his name up in these matchups, but
it's gonna be tough for the Jazz without him.
Yeah,
it's gonna be hard. I mean, they're gonna have to overcome to do some damage in this situation, because he's a really good player. He was a big part of that Jazz team this year.
Yeah. Unless Mike Conley turns into the Mike Conley of old, and if he does that, then that trade-off is worth doing. And, you know, even the Jazz had both of them. There were times when they went through. It's a really weird season for the Jazz. You know, with these streaks they went on, they had a 10-game winning streak, and they had that five-game losing streak, and a four-game losing streak, where it just seemed like they couldn't find a way to win at all. I mean, some of those games they didn't have a chance to win. And then there's the record against the better teams in the league, which was less than stellar. And that's probably true for most of the teams in the league. Obviously, if you're playing tougher competition, your chances in the course of a regular season where you don't have any time to really prepare for that particular team. You have back-to-backs. You have travel situations. You have road trips. You have all that stuff. So anyway, I'm fascinated by who's going to come back sharp and who isn't. How will the Jazz – have the Jazz cogitated everything Quinn wants them to do, and this interruption, the stoppage that they've had has just given them more time to think about it so that they'll come back sharp and there won't be any hangover from that stoppage? It's all sort of on the table right now.
Well, more coming up next, 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.